This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levac.
Ryan, we have another special guest on our episode today from far, far away. Who have we got on the line?
Yes, our guest lives in Queensland, Australia, but he's joining us actually from Sydney, Australia. He is a distinguished Toastmaster. He is featured in the September 2016 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. He's been a Toastmaster for 25 years, and he is none other than our new international president, Mr. Mike Storkey. Mike Storkey, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Mike.
Hi, thank you so much.
Well, congratulations on your new role as international president of the organization. I'm sure that's very exciting for you.
It surely is.
Now, Mike, most people join Toastmasters to either improve their communication skills or their leadership skills or to build their confidence. But for you, it has something to do with where you live?
Well, that's right. My wife and I live, well, we did live in North Queensland in a small town. And it was a great place during the day, but social life in the evening was non-existent other than bars and pubs. So we decided when we heard about a Toastmasters club that was forming to go and meet some people so we could have social interaction. And that's why we joined.
I love that, that it's just such a human reason that you joined, a non-traditional reason. Perhaps, but we probably all know members who've joined for the social aspect of Toastmasters. And I wonder if what would have happened if some person from the future could have come up to you as you were leaving that first meeting and whispered into your ear, "Hey, Mike, do you know in 25 years you're going to be president of this international organization?" You probably would have thought they were crazy.
I would have. I would have probably called for the little ambulance and the gentleman in the white coats to take them away.
Right. Well, obviously, we do want to talk about your role as international president and what you have planned this year. For those who aren't familiar, can you just give us a little overview of what the role of international president entails?
Well, predominantly, it is to chair the board. And the whole idea is that as president, you are the ambassador for the organization. And you probably have to, in some ways, set the tone for the direction the organization is going to take. But it's really to make sure that we achieve our strategic plan, which is set out for the benefit of the members, and really to look after the members, because I'm very, very insistent that it's the members' organisation, and we should always remember the member in any decisions we make. So that's probably my major theme, is steering the organisation, bearing in mind that it is a members' organisation, and therefore that should be our first consideration.
It's interesting that you say that, Mike, because before we got you on the line here, Greg and I were actually talking about your sort of tagline of remember the member. Greg, why don't you share with Mike what you shared with me a few moments ago?
It was back in 2010, the year I became district governor. And I know, Mike, that I think you were running for one of the offices. And it was a challenge with setting up a time for a meeting, but you were really insistent on us getting together. So I think our trio kind of skipped over somewhere quickly and had a coffee. And I remember you presenting us with this little notepad, and on it was a huge big sticker. On the big sticker, it said, "Remember the member." And it was something that you, I believe it was almost like your mantra, and it was something that I still remember today. Tell us a little about how that came about.
Well, I think I was very fortunate. The club I did join in Queensland, which was Whitsunday Toastmasters, was full of members who were both memorable, who were very, very committed Toastmasters, and who instilled upon me from the day I joined that it was a members' organisation and that everything we did should reflect well on the members' experience. So virtually from when I joined Toastmasters, I always believed it was a members organization and that the most important people in the organization was the member. And it's probably a view I've had for 25 years, and I've seen nothing to change that view.
In my year as district governor, I actually took it to heart because, as you know, in organizations, there's always things that happen. And I remembered your words, remember the member. We need to remember that this is all about the members. And it was something that was really, really helpful that year.
Well, I'm glad because I've always said that if you have a decision to make as a leader in Toastmasters, ask yourself, will this decision benefit the member? And if it will, then make the decision. If you have a query about whether it will be of benefit to the member, then perhaps it's a decision you shouldn't make.
Sage advice.
Interesting. I actually thought you were going to say perhaps you should ask the members if you think that would benefit them. And I wonder what your thought is on that, because sometimes there are things people think will be good for them, but they may not have the wider perspective of the organization or of the environment in different parts of the world and that sort of thing. So how do you make decisions to benefit the member when we have so many different types of stakeholders around the world? I know that's kind of a challenging question, but what are your thoughts on that, Mike?
Well, I think that's probably a very interesting thing that a lot of people don't realize. For most of our members, their club is their only Toastmasters experience. Therefore, they judge what they feel they want, need, and what will be applicable to them purely on their personal experience. And of course, when you take on leadership, you have to stop thinking in terms of your club, your area, your division, your district, and even your region. And if you get to serve on the board, you've got to think about a global perspective. And it's quite difficult realizing what effects certain decisions we make will have on different cultures and different people. And that's probably one of the hardest things we have to come to terms with, because you never please everybody all the time. Our aim should be for the benefit of the majority of members worldwide. And that's a difficult call to make quite often, which is why it's great that we have a board made up of representatives from 14 districts, 14 regions, I should say, who can give us a perspective. But I think there would be very, very few decisions that are made that will please everyone.
That's so true. You try to please as many people as you can. I know for newer clubs or for newer members, that's why mentors and mentorship is so important in our organization.
Oh, I think you did right. I would love to see us this year, especially with the introduction of Pathways, stress the need for mentors, because I believe everyone in the organization is a mentor, whether they know it or not, because you're always on show. Other members of your clubs are watching you. And they say imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And it's true. Most of our members who join a club for the first time seek to emulate someone they see in the club who inspires them to reach higher goals. So we're all mentors. And mentoring is such an important part of Toastmasters.
Yes, I remember the first time past international president Neil Wilkinson, who's a member of our district, formerly District 42, because we've now reformed into District 99. And I remember him telling me how people were watching me. And it's like, oh, he scared me at first, but then he explained what was going on, that, you know, you learn from other people, you gain the experience, and then you're giving back and you're becoming a mentor sometimes, whether you realize it or not.
Definitely. I mean, I've had people come up to me and say, oh, I became an area director because I heard you give a talk 3 years ago. I had no idea that it had that effect on that individual, but it makes you have a warm glow when you think, well, that's terrific. But it also makes you think, I better be careful what I say and do, because people are watching you without you being aware of it.
As we learned from the Spider-Man comic book, with great power comes great responsibility. Mike, you brought up the Pathways program a few moments ago, and we've been referring to this on the podcast and around the Toastmasters world as the revitalized education program for, I guess, a couple years now. And recently, the name Pathways program has been rolled out as the title of this new program. But I wanted to ask your thoughts. I know we haven't asked you about your business, and I do want to hear a little bit about that. But I know one of the things you do in your business is change management. And I wonder what your thoughts are on how principles of change management can be applied to what's going to happen in the organization as we start to roll out pathways to the various districts and clubs around the world.
Well, I think the biggest challenge that any of us face is a resistance to change. Most people feel comfortable, safe, and competent in what they do under the current system, and anything that seeks to change that questions their ability to handle the change, and because of that, they have misgivings, misconceptions, and, if you like, resistance to change. But change is the only constant thing that happens in this world. Everything changes on a daily basis. And human beings are quite adept at handling change. The trouble is they don't always realize that it is change that they're dealing with. I think in as far as our program is concerned, this will enable individuals to seek their own path to achieve their own goals. Whereas in the past, our program has been quite prescriptive in the way you reach a goal. Everybody had to do a competent communicators manual and the 10 projects. If you wanted to do leadership, that was seen as a separate path. What Pathways does is allow you to follow both communication and leadership in the same path, a combination. And I think that's a very wise decision, because I don't know of any effective leader who is not also an effective communicator. The two are interwoven, and it's great to see the new Pathways program acknowledge that and develop leadership skills and communication skills hand in hand, because they do, in the real world, go hand in hand. So I think the change will be one of a new perception for our members, and there will be some resistance. Some members will perhaps say, look, I prefer the old system. That always happens. But I think overall it is a very positive move, and I think it's going to have a very positive response with our members.
I'm certainly looking forward to the change. I was just wondering, when you think about a typical club, an average club that's been around for a while, you're going to have some newer members, you're going to have some members that have been there sort of for a little while, and then you're going to have the ones that have been there forever. But then there are members for a long time. And right now what happens is that when you have newer members come into the organization, it's typically the people who have a lot more experience and that have years in Toastmasters that are guiding and mentoring others. What advice would you give to clubs or members that have already received their Distinguished Toastmaster, who have already been in the program for quite a while, in terms of working towards the new program or working in the new program? You know, what kind of thought process should they have? What kind of things should they be looking at in terms of preparing for it?
Well, I think the big thing is to see it as a wonderful opportunity to develop new skills. I mean, one of the reasons I stay in Toastmasters is because I learn something new every day. And just because you're a Distinguished Toastmaster doesn't mean you know it all. I mean, there is that quip that DTM stands for Don't Tell Me. But really, I think DTM stands for Dedicated to Mentoring. And mentoring others teaches you. And the thing about the Pathways program is it gives all those older members who perhaps have got a little set in their ways and have thought that they know it all, here's a whole new program to reinvigorate their membership, to reinvigorate their minds, and to challenge them to acquire new skills. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity. If you're a DTM with the old path, how better to improve your skills than try and achieve a DTM via the new pathways? Because you will find it a different program to the one you've done. And different isn't bad, it's different. And that's the challenge. And I'm a person who, I get bored very easily. And what I'm looking for is new challenges. And I think Pathways will provide and revitalize many of our older members by providing them with new challenges, new pathways, and along the way they're going to learn new skills. And while they're learning new skills, they can encourage and mentor new members to develop their potential. So I'm very excited about Pathways as being a rejuvenation of our organisation and a challenge that everybody can rise to the occasion to meet.
Mike, I want to ask you about something in this interview in the September 2016 issue of the Toastmaster magazine that really caught my attention. It says in the interview here, you share that one of the reasons why you decided to run for international director was at the encouragement of a past international director who was, quote, fed up with me bemoaning what I perceived as a lack of direction in the organization. And I'm curious to know, some time has gone by here since you've been involved in the upper levels of leadership. Has your perception of the organization changed, or do you perhaps think that the organization has found its way, so to speak, over the past few years? What are your thoughts on that?
I think there's always room for improvement. And at one stage when I did actually make that comment, which really prompted me to do something, was when I got challenged. It's easy to bemoan what isn't and what should be when you're not in a position to affect it. And I think the comment made by Claire Murphy, who was the past international director, who I was having dinner with at the time, was very apt. She said, well, if you're so all fired, upset about it, why don't you run? Because you can only change the organisation from the inside. You can't change it by sitting on the sidelines and complaining. And I think that's true. And I think the organisation is always in a position where it can improve. Nothing is ever perfect. That's stagnation. So we need to move forward, and we need people with new ideas and new ways of looking at things challenge us to do better. And that's the thing that I think keeps a lot of Toastmasters in the organisation, is that we can always do better. The two issues that I was bemoaning at the time was retention of members, because I'm a great believer that the major issue of Toastmasters is that we need to look after the members we already have. We do need growth. We do need new members and new ideas, and I'm all for that. But sometimes we pursue it at the cost of recognising that we also need to do things for our existing members. So I think it's a duality that we have to bear in mind. New members, we have an obligation to find and reach and make our services available to. But we also need to make sure that our programs and what we're doing is relevant to our existing members, because growth without retention is like trying to fill a bathtub with both taps on at the top and the plug out at the bottom and wondering why the net growth is not great. And that's where I think one of the things that I used to complain about. And the other thing was I felt that the members weren't involved enough with selecting their leaders. I know we have votes and delegates, but I still question whether the average club, and I hate the word average because no club is average, everyone's individual, but the average club does not make known to its members who is running for district office and involves them in directing their voting delegates how to vote. It's almost as if we turn around and give our vote to the voting delegate and say, well, that's not us, they can make the decision. If you're not involved in the program and you're not involved in electing your leaders, then you can't complain about the leaders you get. And I think we need to make far more of making information about candidates, both at a district and international level, available to all club members so they can direct their delegates. And they were the two issues that prompted me to run, and it's two issues I definitely want to deal with during my term.
Mike, I want to go back to something I mentioned earlier, which was saying that I wanted to ask you about your business. Can you tell us a little bit about Storkey's Team?
Certainly. Storkey's Team is a communication leadership facilitation organisation. We deal mainly with local government organisations, councils, etc., in providing change management training. We do decision making, team building, communications. So they are the main areas we deal with. And we also do coaching and facilitation training for small to medium-sized companies up and down the Queensland coast, which keeps us quite busy. I also was in real estate with Leslie for a number of years as well. We've recently retired from real estate and we'll be concentrating, as time permits, on our facilitation business of Storkey's team. There's only the two of us, but we really enjoy it. Generally speaking, if we go to a council, we'd probably do a day session with certain departments. It could be about developing their communication and presentation skills. It could be dealing with change management, because much of the local government in Queensland had amalgamations of councils, which was a huge change for them, and there was a lot of resistance to the process. So change management was a byword over the last few years, as well as, of course, communication skills.
So your wife is not only your partner in business, but she's also a distinguished Toastmaster. What is her role this year?
Well, let me put it this way. She's a distinguished Toastmaster. She's also a past district governor, and she's probably my best mentor, because she's with me all the time and she sees things a lot of other people don't see. So I find her a very good pillar of support, and I value her opinions. So I suppose her main role this year is to keep me on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking, Greg.
Go ahead.
No, just is that a change from her role over the past, 30 years or so you've been married?
The answer from me will be no. The answer from Leslie will probably be yes.
Excellent. Fantastic. And where is the Toastmasters journey going to be taking you guys this year?
Well, we've got quite a few overseas visits. October, November, we're going to Florida. We're going to Curacao, which is the Dutch Antilles off Venezuela. I believe there's a chance we could be going to Madrid. And then, of course, we're going to Louisiana for the EC meeting. And then next year, in April, May, we're going to London, Switzerland, Sri Lanka, and I hope a visit to one of our districts in Australia.
Wow, it sounds like you've got quite a journey planned. I'm actually quite curious. I'm just thinking you started Toastmasters to find something social to do. You wanted to make a difference in a club. You've made this journey all the way up to now the president of Toastmasters International. What motivated you to stay so long, and what have you gained from it?
Well, I think what motivated me to stay is you never stop learning. But also, I think the big thing for me is the mentoring, the impact you can have on developing new people to discover the skills they have that they never knew they had. I'm a great believer that everybody has something to say, and Toastmasters gives them the skills and the means by which to say it. It's just so important to see the development in people. But what I've got out of it is a worldwide band of friends and acquaintances that really has given me an opportunity to understand people better. I think Toastmasters has a huge capacity to help towards bringing world peace, because if we can get people to communicate one another on a more conciliatory basis, understanding the other person's position, that's a great first step towards doing away with hostilities. So I think Toastmasters gives you so much. It opens up the world to a Toastmaster. I joined in a small club in a small town in coastal Queensland. It's allowed me to travel the world, visit the States. I never wanted or had an intention to visit the States before I joined Toastmasters. And having come over to the States initially to do TRIO training, I suddenly decided and discovered that I was enthralled by what I saw in the States. And it was a totally different reality to my perception of the States before I left, which was probably based on second-rate American TV dramas and crime shows, which don't really show the country to the best light. And when you think that that's all there is, and then you come over and see and meet Americans on their home soil and find how hospitable they are, it's just a wonderful place. And it's the same with all countries in the world. You need to experience and live there and meet the people to form an opinion. And I think too many of us form opinions based on limited experience. And that's what Toastmasters gives you, a wonderful opportunity to experience and network with so many people, both in your own country, but around the globe. And that's something that is a very precious gift.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mike, as we are closing off our session right now, any final comments, any final thoughts or something that you want to share with the audience for your year coming up?
Yeah, people say to me, how do you feel being the Grand Poobah? I don't feel like the Grand Poobah. And I say in all humility to all the members, I am just a member who's called upon to fulfill a role, but I'm a member because when my role finishes, I'll go back to the most important role anyone in Toastmasters can have, and that is to be a member.
Mike Storkey, Distinguished Toastmaster, International President, 2016-2017. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been an honor.
Thank you. And thank you for what you do.
Appreciate it, Mike. All the best to you.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.